Glad to have everyone with us this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a good day, isn't it?
Yes.
Beautiful day. Wonder if any of you thank the Lord for the warm weather this morning. Well, that's very simply a way to make a connection with God. In other words, you had gratitude in your heart because of what you sensed and what you felt. And if you'll just do that all day long, you'll stay in a place of being mindful to Him. Let me just share this. It's always about sowing seeds. And if you'll sow seeds of gratitude to the Lord and acknowledge Him, well, God likes that so much, and it motivates Him so much to open your eyes to see so much more than you've been seeing, that you'll end up seeing more of God than you've ever seen before. And you'll experience more of Him, and the more you experience of Him, well, it just goes to say, you'd probably say, thank you, Lord, this is so great, you're amazing. Thank you for being in my life in this way. Thank you for the way you just did that. And the next thing you know, you're in a continual thanksgiving. That's what we were told to do. Paul said, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all things, amen. And so this is a way for you to stay connected to God, where all of a sudden you become more aware of Him than you do of what you've been aware of up to that time. Amen. I still think of Brother Hagin saying, when I lay at bed at night next to Aretha, the Holy Ghost is more real to me than she is. Now, that didn't mean that if he was comparing the two, it meant even though his physical body was lying next to hers, when he focused his heart on the Holy Ghost, he, at that moment, the Holy Spirit, was more real to him than his physical body being real to the physical body of his wife. Amen. And so it's about focus. But God could become that real to him. That's why all those years, you know, when he was around other ministers and he would pray, people would say things like, you pray different. What do you mean I pray different? Well, you pray like you're actually talking to somebody. He said, well, I am. Right. And we want this. Well, this comes with consistency. Amen. If you'll consistently acknowledge him everywhere you, I don't really usually find him very often. Well, then you're not looking. He is everywhere, you know. And to look means you have to actually want to find him. Right? It's like anything else. To the degree that you look and your intent is to find, you will find. To the degree that you look and your intent is not to find, then you just look. Right? And that's a part of focus. And we do a lot of things without focus. We've been taught to do that in this life. We've been taught to do that in the church. When the emphasis in the church was more about seeking and not really finding. What do you mean? Well, it's okay to talk all about how good he is and no one experiences it. And we've done that now for about 40 years. Now the teaching was necessary, but the experience was just as much necessary. The Amplified Version talks in Ephesians chapter 3 about knowledge without experience is mere knowledge. So all those seminars, we had knowledge, but had no experience. To the Lord, it was mere knowledge. Let me share this. Any knowledge you have beyond your experience will corrupt your relationship with God. So to heap upon yourself more knowledge and not have the experience of the previous knowledge only makes you a clanging cymbal and a big old dong. You know what I mean? This is really important, you know, what we just got through saying. Because if indeed there's any truth to that, that more knowledge doesn't necessarily help the relationship, it just allows you to argue better and be able to state your point, then we have possibly a whole generation of people with corrupted relationships, and maybe that's why we're not experiencing him like we ought to. Amen. So let's constantly look for him. If you do, you'll find him. Amen? Constantly knock because he wants to open the door. and constantly ask so that you can receive. Amen. So anyhow, last night was really, really wonderful. All the services have been wonderful. But last night tweaked me in the whole idea. All you got to hear is just Annie's testimony about it would be easier if you had to come, if you have come up when the Lord was calling her up. Well, you say, well, what do you mean calling her up? Well, she actually was sensing her spirit, not necessarily, you know, it's a very interesting fine line here. Does your spirit leave your body and your body's just actually without a spirit? Well, that would be called dead.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just how it feels to you as you become spiritually minded. You can feel like you're literally coming out of your body because the body's becoming the lesser of the two. The spirit's becoming the greater of the two. And in those moments, you're beginning to experience more of the realness of what it means to be a spirit. And that is without limitations and without boundaries. And that can be a real freaky thing. And so as Annie began to experience herself really kind of lifting up or becoming more aware or stepping in, these are all different phrases that can mean the same thing, she pulled back. And the Lord still ministered to her what was necessary because he wanted her to have and be aware that she had, because it's no good to have if you're not aware that you have. Because if you're not aware that you have, then you probably won't do with something that you don't know you have.
Right.
You know, it just kind of makes sense, you know. Yeah. Such as I have, give I thee. Well, where'd they get that? Yeah. Jesus said, I give you power. And because I give you this power, you better give that power away.
Yeah.
Well, that got into Peter. And when he saw a man in that condition, because the presence of the Lord had become renewed to them, where you remember Peter without the presence, he wasn't really that strong and courageous, was he? But on the day of Pentecost, when the wind started blowing and the fire started falling, and he probably could smell the fragrance of the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's what he said.
Yeah.
And boom, they're speaking an unknown tongue. They're filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
They're not normal as far as, you know, all the things they were doing. They were laughing. They were enjoying the presence of the Lord. People thought maybe they'd had too much to drink of this world, but in that moment, he was aware again of what he had.
Yeah.
And that's what made him step out and become so bold to preach the message to those of whom he couldn't even say to a young little girl, I am with them. And then the next day, of course, he sees someone, and immediately what comes to his mind, I have what he needs. So look at me. The man expecting to receive gave him his attention. Praise the Lord. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I don't think they didn't have any because they were collecting a lot. He was just saying, well, you don't need silver and gold. What you need is what I have. So what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus. And then he believed it was so real, he actually took him and started lifting him before the man had strength to receive. Wow, that was special faith. Well, maybe it was just an awareness and a consciousness of what he had. And maybe we could have the same awareness and consciousness, because if I'm laying in bed at night next to Aaron and I begin to focus on the Spirit and the Holy Ghost starts to become more real to me spiritually than she is physically, well, then I will be aware to say to somebody, now get up. You say, what made you do that? Well, he's here, isn't he? He's real.
Yeah.
And you couldn't talk that out of Peter at that moment. So the phrase, come on up, really got into me, and it always has when I hear that story. And, of course, that's one of the nice things about being around people that stir you up as much as you contribute to helping to stir them up. Amen. And that's iron sharpening iron. So I come over to Colossians 3, some of the verses that Annie shared. And it says here in the Passion Translation, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection. So all I'm doing is setting a little platform here so that we can discuss, and so that we can also have Colossians 3, verse 1, so that we can also have a discussion here in case anybody has questions, all right? So Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. That is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Now, maybe there's a better way to yearn for all that's above. Maybe there are lesser ways to do that. If you notice, most people, if you get them talking, they will always talk as though they are not there, they do not have, and they're a hoping and a praying and trying to believe that God might just like them enough to bless them today. That seems to be pretty much standard across the board, even with Word of Faith people. We've become so good at the flesh that we let the flesh dictate our faith, which then it's not faith. And here we're being told something that's pretty awesome, and that is we ought to be concerned with the things that are above. Well, go on. It says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. Boy, I like that. Mm-hmm. There's an earthly realm, and there's a heavenly realm. Yeah. Amen? There's the glory of the heavenly realm, and there's the glory of the earthly realm. Thank you very much, but I'd rather take the glory of the heavenly. And fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. You could say right there, fill your thoughts with heavenly truths. Because reality is the word for truth. Heavenly realities, and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. Wow. Do you notice how absolute that is? The more absolute you will become of being a spirit disconnected to this world, but fully connected to the other world, the easier it will be for you to find it. The less absolute you are, the more you'll wander. Right? And it says here, and now your true life is hidden away with God. One translation said, hidden in the very being of God. When I think of that, my mind, of course, you understand, thoughts of each individual may vary very a lot. And my mind, of course, this will tell you how I think. I immediately think back to Robin Williams and the movie Flubber. In other words, like you're stepping into a giant gelatin. And once you're in it, everything you do in it is influenced by the substance that you're in. Kind of like when you jump into the water, your whole body is wet. If you move your arm, it's in the water, and it moves the water. And yet the water encompasses round about you. We are hidden in the very being of God, and everything we do is with the substance and the glory. Maybe if you could see the perfect camera here today, if I went like this, there would be splashes of light and glory that would fall from me. And I would be moving light like this, you know, because we are children of the light. It's amazing. Little things that you can do with your mind and imagination bring a realness to something that others can't see. Well, going to the next passage of scripture that was used, Ephesians 1, 19 to 23, it says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. We keep talking about the heavenly realm, and that's what was shared with us last night. It's always easier when you come up. Amen? He is the glorious enthroned, gloriously enthroned over every name that is praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. And he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, his church, are his body on the earth and that which fills him who is being filled by it. And so let me quickly read to you Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, I'm just giving some verses as a foundation, and then we can jump off of this and just begin to discuss some things. Ephesians 2, 4 to 9, it says in the Passion Translation, but God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one. We ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Is that not amazing to think for just a second? And it actually, it pretty much is a place of contention to your mind. Because you know so very well, your body is here. So how could I be there? If you remember Jesus talking with Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus shared something very profound, but it was the knowledge of the day. No one can do these things unless God is with him. because that's the consciousness of the day. The consciousness was when God is with somebody, these kind of things can happen. Well, Jesus is the bridge between the two worlds. Yes, yes. And so he then responded to him, you must be refathered from above. You must be born again. That went right over Nicodemus's head. He did not understand it because it was new revelation. He said, well, how can a man being old get back into his mother's womb? And Jesus is thinking, I could have had a V8, you know. And so then he began to proceed with something simple, which is to use this world and the knowledge of this world to get him consciously to step over into how things work in the other. So he said, Nicodemus, that which is of the flesh is begets flesh, but that which is of the spirit begets spirit. Still didn't get it. Okay, let's work a little further on this. He said, do you feel anything right now? He said, well, there's a breeze. Yes, there is a breeze in the air. Can you see where it's coming from, where it's going? Well, not necessarily. He said, well, so it is with the spirit. So now he's trying to help him make a conversion to thinking spiritually instead of thinking earthly, trying to intellectually comprehend spirit. And it doesn't work that way. So Nicodemus still struggled with that. So Jesus said, Nicodemus, I've told you earthly things so that you would understand the spiritual. What if I just went to spiritual only? In other words, you wouldn't get any of this. And then he said this very interesting thought in the 13th verse. He that hath ascended is he that also hath descended. It is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Well, Son of Man means the one that's on the earth, and yet he said he's in heaven.
Yeah.
So what he's saying is I'm in two places at the same time.
Yeah.
While I'm walking in my physical body here, I'm living out of heaven there. So is it possible to touch two worlds at the same time? Well, let me just say it this way. You are whether you think it's possible or not. It's just which one you give your allegiance to. And the one we always give our allegiance to is the one that's most real.
Right.
So if coming up and things are easier when we do, it doesn't make a lot of sense to you, you probably then will function in the other realm, which is down here. So we want to present to you some ideas about coming up. So let me finish this. This is good. He didn't just say we came up into the heavenly realm. He said we're now co-seated with him. I don't know if that really makes as much impact as it should unless I take just 30 seconds to say, no high priest ever sat down because the job of the sacrifice under the old covenant was never complete. It didn't remove sin from the person. It covered sin in the consciousness of the individual, but he was still very aware of being a sinner. You see, thank God the blood of Christ removes the consciousness of sin and allows us to move past who we were into a brand new creative mindset where we're no longer like we were. Now we're a brand new creature, a species that up to that point has never yet been. But you then have to find out and begin to pursue that life. And to do it, you have to put off what you remember about the old life, and then put on what you're learning about the new life. And it takes an attitude to do it. It comes through the attitude of your, you see people all the time, and just the way they carry themselves, they've got an attitude. They got a swagger, an attitude. They're somebody, and maybe they're not even somebody. You know what I mean? But they're doing a real good job convincing you, who in the world is that? And the only reason, it's the way they carry themselves. Well, you are now raised up to sit together with him, and you must carry yourself like you're somebody because you are. Now, the sad thing is we can mentally agree that the angel of light, I'm not talking about Jesus, I'm talking about the one who tries to trick us through illusion, he carries a swagger to make you think he's somebody, but the problem is he's nobody. We are somebody, but we always seem to go to the lower realm to act like a nobody when we should realize you are a somebody. Jesus was the only one that ever sat down, the only high priest. As soon as he presented the blood, which was a once for all, the Father had him to sit. You don't sit down till the job's done. And then he raised us to sit with him. That doesn't mean you have to work on something. It means you have to believe something so that you can enforce something. You can enforce what you don't believe is real. And everything I'm saying is a manner of coming up. It's the way you see yourself, praise the Lord, in Christ. Okay, I have some other really juicy thoughts in here too, but we'll stop for a second and just think for a moment. Jesus was our prototype. And the first thing you recognize, this only takes a couple seconds, and then we're open for the panel. And I'm fine if somebody, if one of the panel, they liked something right at the beginning. You don't have to go with what I'm just saying right now. But I just wanted to get some thoughts out there that we can jump from lily pad to lily pad if we need to. The first thing we notice about Jesus is he understood at 12 years of age that God was his father. Now that takes a revelation from God because no one taught him that on the earth. It even shocked his parents. And actually, you'll find from that point, you'll never see Jesus, not that he was disobeying his parents, but in any way, shape, or form, doing something outside of staying in a parental place of respect and honor. Because Jesus said, well, what's your problem? I've been with my dad all the time. Is there a problem with that? But from that point, he went back. And then for all those 18 missing years, we see that he must have continued to facilitate the relationship with the Father, but he was also honorable and respectful to his parents. So that's the first thing we see, is he knew the Father. Mm-hmm. Now, what we see and what Annie shared last night about being in the solitary place, that does not mean when he entered into ministry, he began to now seek the Lord or the Father in a solitary place. What it means is Jesus stayed true to what he began to do from the age of 12 years of age and possibly even earlier. He would go out to places that he was alone with, and all of a sudden what was inside of him would commune with God, and he began to have those epiphanies that would just pop and pop and pop. And all of a sudden at 12, he realized, God's my Father, and he's speaking to me and showing me my path. Well, he did that for 18 years before he got into the ministry. Paul, isn't it interesting, before he ever went up and told anybody about his occurrence that took place on that road to Damascus, 14 years he continued to facilitate the awareness of God, the realness of God, because that's the foundation. Listen, what I'm telling you right now is not something that's for a minister. This is Christianity. This is 101, Christianity 101. It is the A and the B to the C. Amen. It is not X, Y, Z. This is reality for anybody that accepts Christ as Savior. You immediately have a connection with God. Immediately. And it's that realness in his Father that led him step by step into every single thing that Jesus accomplished, which was the will, we could say it like this, plans, purposes, and pursuits equals the will of God. And Jesus accomplished the will of God because he was aware of his dad. Now, I want to leave it there because everything we're talking about is about coming up. And there are different ways for us to become aware of God in this measure. So anything that I've said, has it inspired any of you to say something, or do we need to ask questions?
I'll go something. Everything is inspiring. Amen. I'll stand because if I sit, it's going to be weird. Hebrews 11 says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes, He that comes to God. He that, I didn't see it till you were talking a minute ago. He that comes to God must believe that he is. It starts with awareness. Faith doesn't start with reading a scripture. It starts with the awareness of God himself. So he that comes to God, without faith, it's impossible to please him. In order to come to him, you have to come in faith. We are word of faith, are we not? Amen. The just shall live by faith. The only way to live by faith is not to just go by rules and regulations and systems. The only way to live by faith is to come, to first come. And this whole relationship Jesus had with his Father is a demonstration of a life lived by faith. Every action with God, every interaction with God is through the heart. Every interaction with God, it's not through our behaviors. It's a heart issue. Everything starts in the heart. That's relationship. So Jesus, knowing that God was his Father, he demonstrated how a man lives by faith on this earth. How does a man live by faith on this earth? Because when he was baptized by John in the river and that voice came and said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So Jesus has been living by faith his entire life. Not one miracle has happened yet. Not one out of the ordinary thing other than he only did what he heard his Father say, only did what he saw his Father do. Everything came out of that place in God. Everything came out of that place in God. What do we do? Fast forward to when the centurion came on behalf of his servant to Jesus. And my servant lies sick at the point of death. And Jesus said, "I'll come. I'll come." I love that Jesus said, "I'll come." I mean, immediately. The guy didn't deserve anything. He's not a Jew. He has no covenant. He just says, "I have an issue with my servant." Jesus said, "I'll come." And he says, "You don't have to come. You don't have to come." And this is part of the thing with us. We keep wanting him to come. We keep wanting him to come. And he's like, "I'll come." But he says, "No, you don't have to come. I'm a military guy. I live by orders. I live by orders. All you have to do is give the order. And if you'll give the order, it'll be done." And Jesus said that was called what? Great faith. He said, "I haven't found this among my own people." And here's this guy outside of all my own people who gets how this works. He gets how it works. I live by orders. And if you've ever been in the military, I know Jerry's been in the military. Several of you have been in the military. Pastor Barry's been in the military. Anybody who's been in the military, you know that if a superior officer gives you an order, it's not a suggestion. It's not, when you feel like it, if you feel good about it, if it bears witness with you, if you get confirmation, then do this. No, if a superior officer gives you an order, he considers it already done as soon as he gives the order. Before you even carry it out, he considers it done. Now you better get to it and do it, right? So the centurion says, "I live this way by orders." That's what Jesus called great faith. And by that I mean is you believe what he said immediately, consider it done immediately, right? And that really is, that's true faith. And that's what Jesus did. He lived by orders. Not in the military sense of, strict obedience, but just because of his relationship. If God said it, that's the way it is. That's the orders we live by. Why would we contend with the order? Why would we say, no, I know what you said, Lord, but is there another way to do this? Can we do it this way? I feel like we need to do, you know, now we're back to taking control. Because that's what we're comfortable with, our knowledge. But he inhabits eternity. He already sees the end from the beginning. And so when he gives the order, it's because he already knows what's on the other side. Come on. This is the realm of the spirit where time is irrelevant. Circumstances are irrelevant. The natural realm, our crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie. Severed the tie to this realm, so we have access by faith into this grace. Praise the Lord. And so living by orders then is just believing what he said and acting on it. Not like, okay, I gotta believe. To believe simply means this: to accept as truth. To accept as truth, not to know something. Faith is different than knowledge. Knowledge is not faith. Faith is not knowledge. You can know a fact and not believe it. But believing is different. When you accept something as truth, when you accept something as truth, it will change your actions. And that's how you can tell if you believe it or not. If it changes your actions, COVID, for example, all of a sudden, here's this unseen virus, this unseen thing, and we were told all kinds of things about it. May or may not be true. Still up for discussion. A lot of those things, right? Stand 6 feet apart, do this, do that, you know, all this kind of things, experimenting with all kinds of stuff. And we had to accept it as truth, which made us change our actions. Right? And so people will defend what they believe. Arguments are not usually over facts. Arguments are usually over what you believe. Because how many things now are called my truth? If you have to modify the word truth, it ceases to be truth. But it's what I believe, and therefore if I believe it, I will defend that position, even if it's wrong. Because I believe it. And if I believe it, I want you to believe it. And so this believing is a very powerful force. Amen. God created this force of believing. It changes things. So as Word of Faith people, just because we know Scripture is truth, isn't enough. We've got to come up to this place of believing it to be true for me. I accept this as truth. That's why God gives us a choice. He's always given us a choice. His word is true regardless of whether anybody ever believes it. It will never change. He will never change. But he's always given us the choice to believe. And so believing is because it's a choice, it's awareness. And it's focus. It doesn't come automatically because you read the word, you believe it. It's not true. You don't automatically believe it. You still have to choose. And choosing is focus. And choosing is awareness. And choosing is that place where you have to take a moment or 10, depending on how heady you are. You got to make yourself see what he sees. Make yourself see what he sees and allow yourself to see what he sees. Because if you are a heady person, if you are automatically a heady person, you think a lot, you know, your mind goes a million different directions all the time. You have to rein that in. Take captive every thought and make it obey God. Because that's where the freedom is. That's where the freedom is. It will free your mind from all that junk that rolls around in there all the time. It will free your mind and bring you peace and take the anxiety out. Amen. When you can actually let it go and let the peace of God come with that awareness, that coming up. For me, it's an effort. It's an effort. I have to make myself go there on purpose, because I can think all kinds of things and I can think absolutely nothing and just sit and do nothing. So I have to make myself do all kinds of stuff. So he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise God. Amen.
Jim. Hello. I think my mic needs to come up. I thought when I was singing, I couldn't hear my part. Could you guys hear me singing earlier? A little bit? All right. Wow. God is faithful. Is he not? That's so good, Annie. What did you want me to talk about? He told me what he wanted. What did you want? Okay. Yeah. I had that. And there's another part as Annie, I almost called you Pastor Annie. As Pastor Annie was talking, I was thinking about the many times of learning to pray and stepping over into the unseen realm, and how many times I was in the unseen realm and didn't realize I was there, because I just was praying and my soul and my mind, you know, was just going. But then when my eyes began to open to the unseen realm, I started getting nervous. How many have ever experienced that? Where you get a little nerved with what you're seeing, and then you're thinking, am I off? Am I wrong? I don't want to be flaky. I don't want to be the only Rhema graduate that still is at Rhema and serving all the time at the Prayer and Healing Center. And I'm the one that everybody looks at and says, she's goofy, she's weird, she's a Fruit Loop. And even though I was working with this guy for 10 years, I already had a label because of being with him all the time. No, I'm kidding. you know, but I so did not want to get off. How many of you want to stay on the straight and narrow? You know, and you want to go do exploits in God in prayer, and you want to go into the deep, you want to launch out and see and know. But when I begin to see more into the realm of the Spirit is when my soul begin to want to take a back seat and go, no, because no matter what, yes, we are a spirit. We live in a body. We possess a soul. But even when you're in prayer, your soul is engaged. And too often we try to kick it out and, well, this is just my spirit. And yes, it is your spirit, and your spirit by the Holy Spirit within you. He is your lead. He is your guide. But revelation is going to come to you, but it's going to illuminate your mind. And you're going to have understanding. You're going to see and know. I remember one time years ago, before Jim was even working at the Prayer and Healing Center, I was there a couple of years before he came over, maybe a little longer, I don't remember. And I was praying in an office there with a bunch of prayers that had been there for years. And the prayer coordinator at the time was Kathy Creek. And we were in there, we were praying. And man, I had just moved back from being a youth pastor. And I didn't want to get off. And so as I'm in there praying with everybody, all of a sudden I knew I was in heaven. I saw clouds. I saw moving. And they were, you know, when a storm is getting ready to come, and how the clouds are real a lot of movement in the sky. Have you seen that? And this particular time in prayer, the clouds were just moving and it was strong. And I'm just praying, you know, and I'm not speaking anything out. After the prayer time, Kathy said to everybody, "Did anybody see anything or know anything?" Well, I kept silent. I kept quiet. And after everybody was dismissed and we were leaving, I walked over to her and I told her, I said, "You know, Kathy, I did see this." And I began to share with her. I said, "It was like, I said, the only way I can interpret it is the movings of God. That there's a lot of movement in God and there was something happening." She goes, "Why didn't you speak that out when I said that?" And I said, "Well, I didn't want to get off. I didn't want to. I thought maybe it was weird." And she said, "If you don't start speaking stuff out, I'm going to quit praying with you." I go, "Okay." Well, prayed a few other times with her, kept it all inside. She quit praying with me. And there was a time she came back, thank God, and I'd learned my lesson. Speak out what you're getting, whether you think it's right or wrong. Just say it, because she's going to quit praying with you and she's helping you pray. And so I would begin to speak it out and she would go, "Yes." And then she would take it from what I would see or say. But that was the beginning of me learning to speak out what I was seeing, because my soul and my flesh would be freaking out about what I was seeing. But I found that when I begin to speak it, more further light and revelation would come to it. And it's so important for us to speak what we're seeing. Now, of course, some stand in the office of a prophet and you're seers and you see a lot, but as a prayer, you're a watchman on the wall and you see as well. You might not see as a prophet sees, but you will see. There would just be a revelation light in seeing and knowing. So there have been many times when I've been over in that realm praying, which is a realm that we occupy right now. You're in the spirit as well as you are in the natural right now. And we have divided it so much that we've made it difficult. The things of the spirit, I say it all the time, is easy. It's easy. And I'm so glad that I'm not heady. I'm not a heady person. I'm just like, well, if God said, okay, I can do it. It's easy. And that's how I operate. And I know a lot of you guys operate like that. You know, just break it down, make it simple. Can I do that? Yes, you can. This is why you can do it. You're a spirit. You have a legal right to operate over there. You're not doing anything without the Holy Spirit. Some people have said, I don't want to get over in that realm. I don't want to see devils. I don't want to see demons. I don't want to be spooked out. I don't want to have weirdness going on, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I have found that I have prayed this for years. Father, I thank you that your spirit is on the inside of me because you live in me, that you're leading me, you're guiding me, you're directing me. And I thank you that I'm covered in the blood. I'm covered in the blood. I have the name of Jesus, and there's no reason for me to see any demonic activity unless you want me to deal with it. And if you reveal it, then I'll deal with it. Otherwise, I'm not going to have eyes to see stupid. No, I'm not going to allow the enemy to take me off. I do everything according to the word. I'm covered in the blood. I know Patsy and Kathy and them used to always say, when you're in prayer, you make sure you always go through the blood in the name of Jesus, and you make sure your armor is on. You know who you are in Christ. Now, when you operate in the truth, then you're going to stand from a place and position of faith and not waver or be frightened when you're over in the realm of the spirit in prayer. So as I continued to pray in the groups that I would be praying in, all of a sudden the realm of the unseen realm became so real to me, and angels I was aware of often. And I'll never forget, I thought I was flaking and getting weird, and I went into this prayer room. Actually, I think it was maybe when we were praying in your office, Jim, and there was a couple of other people in there, and he'd called me and said, come in and pray with us, and I'd come in and was praying, and as I bowed my head and began to pray, all of a sudden, my spiritual eyes were open, and I saw three angels standing in the corner of his office. And their backs were to me, and they were talking to themselves. And I'm just sitting there in the room praying with my eyes closed. Now, it's a spiritual vision I'm seeing. I'm not seeing it with my natural eyes open. But as I prayed in the spirit, there they were. then I started freaking out, and so I opened my eyes, because if I open my eyes, I can't see him, and I can just make them think I'm still praying with them, you know, and then when they're done, I'm going to get out of here because I'm Fruit Looping. Something's weird. This is strange. And so your soul, your mind, your emotions will get so involved into things, and you've got to bring it into captivity. And so I closed my eyes again, and I went back to hooking my heart, as Dad would say, hooking my heart back up, you know, in prayer and praying. There they were again. And this time they turned around and looked at me. And I heard one of the angels say, "She knows we're here." And I thought, well, now that's Fruit Looping. That's weird. And they came towards me to talk to me. And you know what I did? I could not wait for him to quit praying. Because I'm out of here. And that's exactly what I did. I left my eyes open the rest of the time and was out of the office as quickly as possible. Because my soul started engaging and it became more real to me. This realm became too real to me. And because I was seeing over there, I wonder what would have happened had I said, "What do you want?" Now, since that time, I'm not afraid. Because that is fear. I'm not afraid anymore. Because there's a samai. Can I step over? Yes. For the realm of the spirit is a real place. A place that you're to engage. A place where your soul and your emotions and your will have a place. But it's under that of your spirit as your spirit does engage. Engaging in that realm in me. Where darkness flees, light shines, and you get instruction from me. Instruction of how to function with the flow and the spirit that I'm leading you in. Will you dare to step over in me and recognize how easy it is to begin? For many, it's the beginning to step over into these things. And it's not because you haven't been seeing, not because you've not desired it, but you've been in fear of getting off because you've not pushed your trust over in me. Trust in me. You know that it's true. I sound just like my word, and you'll not get off as you operate and function in me. Now, in my heart right now, I have to say this. When you want to be looked upon as a spiritual person, that you are so great. You are so spiritual. You're the one that's going to get off. Are you with me? I've heard so many ministers say this. The most normal people are the most spiritual people. The more normal, because you get around me, I'm a little too normal sometimes. I got to work on me. Because the more normal you are, it seems like the more spiritual you are. And people that are, you know, it's like weird. You know, God's not weird, all right? And the realm of the spirit isn't weird. And we can operate in that realm in the fullness of God, in the fullness of who he is. But God, you know, and it goes back to this. I promise I'm going to go to where you want me to go, Jim. But your relationship with God is what grooms you in your prayer life, that grooms you in intercession. It grooms you in seeing and knowing into that realm. You will never go further than your relationship in God does. Are you with me? You're never gonna go further than your walk in relationship with him. You just won't. God, and when you're so secure in that place in him, you know you're not going to get off. You know you're not going to get weird, right? So using your faith in this realm, using your faith to operate in the unseen realm. It took me a little bit to learn that when I see something in that realm, use my faith. Use my faith. What do you mean? Meaning, I believe you're there. What do you want to say? I'm in prayer school one day. I'm leading prayer. Jim's gone. I'm on the platform carrying it on a Friday. We're praying for Africa. As we're praying for Africa, an angel comes in. I see him as plain as day, standing beside me at the podium. Very tall dude. He's so tall that he was hunched over like this, looking down at me. And I'm thinking, what does he want? But I'm still praying in the spirit. A few days prior to this particular prayer time, I had went into Jim's office because I had been praying in a prayer room in the back with some of my friends, and we had stepped over into some things that I knew he would want to get in on. So I went running down the hallway to his office. I go, oh my goodness, you got to come. This is what we're seeing. This is what we're praying and blah, 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 blah. And he got up. He goes, okay. And then he goes, wait a minute, who are you praying with? And I told him. He goes, oh no. And he stopped and he plopped back down into his chair. And I go, what, what? And he goes, that girl, she scares me a little bit. Because, you know, he was Baptist background. My girlfriend and I, that were the one we were talking, we're so Pentecostal, and she's very dramatic, very dramatic. She can act and sing. She could do opera. I mean, it was just like, wow. But that part of her personality went into her prayer time. And so it was very dramatic. And once I told him who it was, and he got comfortable with her after a while, but right then it was just like, oh, you go get it and just bring it back and I'll pray with you. Oh, not because he was Baptist, but because he was normal. Okay, you can believe that. And so anyway, it was amazing what we were seeing. It was amazing what we were knowing. But when Jim told me this, though, when I went to his office, I go, do I scare you? And he was silent. And I immediately go, oh, my goodness, I scare you. He goes, no, I'm thinking about our prayer times. And he goes, no. He goes, you don't scare me. I go, because you were quiet makes me feel like I do scare you and I'm a freak. And he goes, no, I was just thinking about our prayer times. You could have really got me just then, but I'm glad you don't. And so anyway, you walk in love. He's so spiritual. So anyway, the things of the spirit, stepping over into these things, that particular day or the following Friday, I'm in prayer school and the angel's there. And now I'm seeing over into the realm of the spirit, this angel. But now I've also got him in my head thinking, Leanne, don't look weird. And this is what he told me when I was in his office. Remember, you have control of your person all the time. You don't have to look weird when you're seeing over into that realm. See, I was raised Pentecost and everybody would go, and it was all crazy and wild, heads banging, everything going. And so I was like, oh. And so now I'm at the podium the next day. Angel's right beside me. I see him praying for Africa. I know he's supposed to go to Africa, and I know I need to tell the students what we're getting ready to do. But the whole time I'm seeing him, I'm wondering, how's my face looking? What am I looking like? Am I looking like a freak? I have control of me at all times. And so I put my hands on both sides of the podium, and I just stood there, and I made sure that I was looking as normal as I can. And I just stood there, and I thought, oh, I can still see. He's right there. Not Jim, that angel. I see him. And so I then begin to address the students and I go, guys, this angel has come into the room and we're supposed to send him to Africa. And so everybody stood and we did it. And I said, on the count of three, and on the count of three, when I got to three, boom, I said, let's shout, go. And that angel took off like lightning through the ceiling. Boom, he was gone. And we knew, and we began to rejoice. I shared that to say, that realm is so real. There are angels that are always waiting for you to send them. They've got assignments, but they need our voice to send them. There's things that we need to operate in that realm. And these truths that these guys are saying ever so wonderfully, I wish I could speak like them, it helps me as a prayer to step over more in faith with revelation, knowing I've got the right to do it. I have the understanding, and it's a decision of my will to operate in that, to go deeper. If I want to go deeper, I can go deeper. A song the Spirit of God gave me years ago, as far as you want to go, you can go. As far as you want to see. And that's when I was sitting in my office years ago at Rhema, and I had a scad of things I was praying about, and I was just aggravated because it was taking me too long to get through them. Because it seemed like every time I was praying, I was hitting up against a brick wall, hitting up against a brick wall. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, but I feel like I'm going nowhere. And then I heard the Spirit of God say to me, "Why don't you act like you're on the other side of the wall?" And I thought, how do I act like I'm on the other side of the wall praying in the Spirit? How do I do that? And he said, "Change your dialect." I thought, change my dialect. And I thought, well, how would I be responding right now if I was on the other side of the wall and in victory and in freedom and happy that I finally got those things prayed out? How would I act? Oh, well, one thing, my face would be happier and my voice would change a different dialect. I would be, and so no longer was I going, "Obre shigidi limam bragashte." I was like, "Oh man, jigede, ha ha, buzu vugraba, ose kregli." What does that sound like? Like a person that's happy, a person that's already on the other side, knowing that she's got victory. And so when I started doing that, guys, within seconds, I had prayed through absolutely everything. The brick wall was gone. I was on the other side. And too many times we make ourselves stay on the side in the arena of unbelief and hardship when all you've got to do is, why don't you just act like you're already there? Because he already seated you in heavenly places. He's already given you the victory. He's already given you the keys to the kingdom. Operate from that place of authority and dominion that you have. And when you do that, whew, how far you're going to go, you know? And I don't know if that's what you want me to talk about. It's not, is it? But you can do it. All right.
Hey, okay. we're gonna pray in just a minute. And I was going to ask Kevin if he could just lead us out in prayer. But before we do, let me just take a couple thoughts to summarize some of this. You know, the first scripture we read over in Colossians chapter 1 in the Message Bible says, come on up and see things from God's perspective. And there's the word come up. Come up and see things. So God's perspective is reality. So we have a spirit helper and a spirit guide by the name of the Holy Ghost who leads us into all truth. Truth is reality. Reality is a perspective. So you could say the Holy Ghost leads you into the proper perspective. Yeah. He leads you into the realness of God, or he leads you into the truth. And so everything, whether we like it or not, we have been given a link between the two worlds called an imagination. And this imagination works by faith. You heard it in Annie's, what she just got through saying. You heard it in what Leanne was saying. Step over by faith. Well, what are you stepping over into? What you see. What do you see? Well, either seeing a landscape allows you to say something, or hearing somebody say something allows you to see something. So when Paul says that he prays that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, the word understanding means imagination. So it means the eyes of your imagination would be flooded with light. Flooded with light is the same word for photograph. So it means the eyes of your imagination would have a photograph, would take a photograph. So then when you come on over and you see Mark 11 and you see verse 23, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and doubt not in your heart. Well, doubt not, the heart there is imagination. Doubt not in your imagination. So if you're going to cast a mountain into the sea, don't you also see the mountain going into the sea? See, we're connected. We're always connected to what we see and what we hear. Why do you think Jesus said, I always do those things I see my Father do? And he says what he hears his Father say. So there's things that the Father would say that would produce a vision or an imagination, an image that Jesus would do. Then there were things that Jesus would see the Father do that he could either do that just as he saw, or he could say what he saw. It works both ways interchangeably with your imagination. And your faith is a byproduct of all of this. You can't come up without having faith come with you. Because faith comes by listening or hearing or seeing or knowing what God's doing. So, you know, the whole idea of one of the greatest ways to begin in this, because there are a lot of different levels of coming up. Now, I mean, I spent a lot of time with that cowboy friend of mine, and I don't really care if anybody likes him or not. I'm just telling you what I experienced with him. He certainly wasn't a perfect person. I'm not trying to make that, you know. But he figured out how to go on over to the other side. And his first experience was to say in the middle of a prayer group, I can't make you ought to be down here. I ought to be up there. I can't make you come down here, but you can't stop me from coming up there. And he used his imagination to see. And the next thing you know, he slumped over and he went and he called it going home and spending time with the guys. I know that's just how he said it. And he was there talking to God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And then he would say, because he would go back all the time. How would he go back? By quieting his body so that his spirit became the main function or force. Does this sound weird? Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we've always used that for death. Why don't you use it for life? It's the exact same thing Jesus said to admonish the disciples, the nine disciples that were not with Jesus. Jesus was with three on the mountain, and they were experiencing up. Mm-hmm. The nine were experiencing down, you can say. And they weren't getting the job done with that devil and that boy. And when Jesus, you know, he reprimanded them. He said, you know, you're not taking things seriously. There's no sense of God, the Message Bible said. And then he went on to say, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Well, there it is right there. Turning your back on one realm allows you to find the other realm. It's just very, very simple. And one of the ways, and what we were sharing the other night is, one of the ways to do that while you're still in this realm is to lose the importance and the value you give the earthly realm, so that even while you're walking in it and functioning, you're using the all the powers and the glory and the grace of the other realm to do it. So there's different degrees of going home or coming up. But one of the ways we can all start right here today is begin to see ourselves on the other side, yes, and with our imagination, take our place in heavenly places. Yes. Well, brother, what would that look like? I don't know. If we're seated with him, it would probably look like this. Do you see how easy that is? I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. You know, Adam walked with God, but God made a brand new creation. Where on this side of the covenant, he lives in us. And actually, because he's in us, he raised us up to sit with him so we can partake in the dominion of not just the earth, but in the dominion of the three realms. This is a whole brand new thing, and we're not doing real good with this realm. How are we going to do good with the other realms? So you got to start where you can start. Well, where can I start today? Can you see if I said when I was a little boy, I had really blonde hair, and I took my brown dog and put it in my red wagon and went down to my friend's house, walked through the white picket fence and played all afternoon on the very, very green, you know, fescue grass. Can you see that? Yes, you can. So you can see. Everyone in here can see. A blind person can see. So let's start seeing ourselves on the other side for a little bit here, and let's jump over into prayer. And we got a lot going on today in this world, and it would be nice if we might actually extend our seeing over into other people's seeing today. And we're not in witchcraft, so we're not trying to make them see what we want them to see.
We're asking that eyes would be opened and people would see and convictions of their heart, that they'd actually have the fullness of those convictions on a voting day, and that we would just believe for the will of God to be done, and we would get out of our own way to have it be what we think it is and just let it be what God says it is. Can we get neutral today and use some of this to come up? I want to live up. I don't want to just come up. Don't you want to stay up? Kevin?
Praise the Lord. Why don't we just lift our hands for just a moment? You know, I sense in my heart, on behalf of all of us in this conference, that we all want to come up higher, and we're looking for instructions on how to do that. And it's a wonderful thing to have a heart to want to know Him greater. And I believe before these meetings are over, that we're all going to have some questions answered. That the thoughts that you're carrying within yourself to say, Lord, how do I make that path? How do I approach this place and come up into those higher realms and occupy a place in the Spirit like it's been admonished to me? I truly believe after these meetings, there's going to be some answers to some questions in that area. These meetings are just at the halfway point, and I really believe that God is going to reveal. He is revealing. How many of you are getting some answers? And just to refresh on a couple thoughts here, you know, I borrowed that from Jim Hockaday. He says, I just got a few more thoughts, and we're going to pray. And then he usually goes about a half an hour longer. But anyways, here's a couple thoughts. You know, Brother Hagin said this. He said to be in the Spirit is to be more aware of God than you are of yourself. To be in the Spirit is to be more aware of God than you are of yourself. And I've heard Brother Jim mention this scripture so many times, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense His grace. Anytime we approach the presence of the Lord and we seek Him, like Brother Jim says, we're not just about seeking, we're about finding. And today, as we minister to the Lord here in a moment, and we yield ourselves and we get more mindful of the heavenly realm, those scriptures in Colossians, it says Christ's resurrection is your resurrection. And I love it where it says, and He has severed the tie. Sever the tie to this life. So we have an invitation to come up into the Spirit, sever the tie from the distractions of this life. And the more we can focus on Him, then these cares of this life will faintly fade away. Do you believe that today? God will match your hunger. He won't disappoint you. He said He satisfies the longing soul. And He fills the hungry soul with His goodness. If you're hungry enough, He will fill you. If you long to be satisfied, He will match your level of desire. Would you just lift your hands? Hallelujah. You can stand, you can sit, whatever helps you be in the Spirit, but we're going to be more aware of God than we are of yourself. And the more your attention goes to Him, you'll sense yourself just begin to just enter on in. Enter on in. Things will begin to shift. Things will begin to move. You'll begin to see things the way He wants you to see them. Some things that you've desired to know, all of a sudden some clarity will come. So, Father, we just come to You today. We honor You in this place. And everything that we do, everything that we say, we honor You. Be magnified, be glorified. We exalt You in this place today. We need You. We need You. We need You. And we can't do life without you. We know there's a higher, there's a higher, there's a higher, there's a higher. There's a higher place for us to come up into. Thank you for the revelation that flows to us. And Father God, as we learn this week, Father God, we're going to immediately put to practice the things that we have learned in the Spirit. This isn't something that takes weeks and months. It's a right now. It's a right now experience. Father God, help us to come up. Help us to come up. Help us to enter on into that place, into your gates, into your courts. Father, we know that you're in us. We know that we're in you. But Father God, we occupy the realm of the Spirit. We've been invited into your house. We've been invited into those rooms. So Father God, we enter on in. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Ha ha, shura dinga ratura ninga rabaso caravate. Nomra shiki rabato celibeta. Mando shiki la mando celibete. Oh, Ramando reis de gila lando zucre nimbera dando zuclanda de ginda le yoldo rosa gelidanda. Broma shiki la mando celide. Mano no sucre nimbera sucre vata prase. Bro shiki ratando zeribando zucre
bia zila bia negeshe. Grow gyasa manja badi bile basso.
Light comes in darkness.
Yes, that's right.
I command that darkness to go now.
Yes, I command it to go now.
Yes. Darkness, you flee from this place.
Yes. You flee from these people.
You flee from the plan and purposes of God. Ah, sure. Light.
Light comes clear.
The light is come. The light is shining. The light is shining. Brightly. The light is shining brightly. The light is shining. Brightly. We're making room for more. We want more. We're ready for more.
Our heart yearns for you, Lord. Our heart yearns for you. Our heart yearns for you. Oh, Lord, may the hunger for your fire, may the hunger for your fire increase in this place. May the hunger for your fire, for your presence, for your glory to be manifested in this church, in our homes,
in our lives. Come up higher, he says. Come up higher. Go somewhere you haven't been before. May Pentecost fall and rain upon us. Father, take us where we haven't been before. Take us where we haven't been before.
Jahaya belum diberi tiada sahaja. Dari ubi kiri ribu ribu anak balai saya. In this realm is easy, oh, so light. Nah. Direction, understanding, clarity. The realm of glory is ours to operate and find. Demonstrations from this place. Demonstrations from this place. Understanding. We declare from this place what we see, what we hear. Oh, we engage. We engage you. We engage you. Glory, 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 glory. We engage you. Rivers flow, directions known. Encounters of God we grow. Suna mande brendo mamlo vots inglengo glain grace do herum do night dost. Rivers flow, heaven's known, his heart is known. Cretere, vonodahi, Father, fasa post. Father, restos dost. O refese.
with your glory.
For in this day and in this hour, demonstration is for now, for you to come over and operate in this power. Where revelation flows and understanding is known, and not be timid or shy, but jump into this flow. In your personal time, allowing your imagination to come to me and see what it looks like over here, and your heart will dance about with glee. As you extend yourself in faith to me, I will show, I will reveal, and you'll not get off, for my spirit shall reveal. Yield to me, and it won't just happen in a service, but it will happen in your daily life. Flow in the spirit, walking in the spirit, the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. That's who you are.